I can taste that Alice Springs chicken, baked beans, washed it all down with some water. I didn't have it on the hot dog, just on the side, just on the side. Just another ingredient in the palate. And don't forget the pickle. Now, my energy level's off the charts. What a freaking posse. What a posse.
Bucks fans, Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, is in the house. He's the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. Ira, it is great to be here with you. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here, and we're all fired up. A lot of stuff coming out of practice today. Now the Bucks have Saturday off, and they'll come back. It's going to be a week of a lot of practices and pads, which is exciting. And the 11th anniversary, Ira, 11th anniversary, Big Storm Brewing Company, Clearwater location. The party is Saturday, noon to 8. Buy one, get one free on package 4 packs of beers. They've got all kinds of specials, live music, and just raffles and all sorts of great stuff going on. It was a great party last year, and they're doing it all again, 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road, noon to 8 p.m., Big Storm Brewery. If you can't get out there, you're missing out, but you've got tap rooms in Orlando at the Amway Center, in Odessa, and in Cape Coral, as well as Ybor City upstairs in Centro Ybor. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, this is the weekend to get it done. The Ira Kaufman discount is on. Sean Sullivan, he has got concierge service for you to order a new vehicle. Zero deposit. No deposit. Sean's going to give you a $500 gift card just to order a vehicle, and you'll get all the help you need. It's just such a great service, and they've got great pre-owned inventory, their body shop service, all the great construction going on there is going to turn into the greatest dealership Tampa Bay has ever seen in about 2 months or so. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium, BillCurryFord.com. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. Mold, Ira, you got any mold over there?
Just on the back of my hand a little bit. Something's growing on it.
Florida's Elite Restoration, storm damage, mold, fire, flood. You call them first, 24/7. They'll give you a free evaluation in your home, your property, of what's going on and what needs to be restored and repaired and how to clean it up properly. And they'll work with your insurance company so you don't get screwed. I'm sorry, that's no other way to say it. You need someone in your corner. That's Florida's Elite Restoration. When you call them, tell them Ira sent you, or Joe Bucks fan, even if it's 4 a.m. on a Monday because you found a flood. If you eventually need their services and sign an agreement to work with them, they'll give you $500 back just for mentioning the Sage when you first call, or Joe Bucks fan. And they're just fantastic. Learn about them so you know who to call. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, Josh Martin, the owner there. I just love when you say Josh and his people. Can I get Josh and his people once from you?
What a crew Josh has. Josh and his people, what a staff. They're highly trained. They're honest. And what more can you say?
I know. I know you love them. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Thanks to all of our great supporters of JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, 3 days of training camp in. Now, I'm not going to pretend you were there. You weren't there day three, but you were there day two. We haven't spoken to you since our day one podcast, which anyone can go back and listen to at Apple Podcasts, JoeBucksFan.com, Podbean, wherever. Sage, some impressions from day two. Todd Bowles, other things going on. I got some questions for you. And we'll bring in Lee later to really dive in into what we saw on day three.
All right, Steve, a couple of preliminary points. First of all, I'm really looking forward to Sunday. I'm going to be seeing you out there. Who knows if there's going to be some national types wandering around. But most importantly, the fans are going to be there. Buck fans are going to be out there in force. And the padded practice, the pads are coming off. And that leads us right to Todd Bowles and some of his comments on day one and day two, of which I was sitting right there, right in front of him, center seat. He mentioned my cast came off my fractured wrist yesterday, Steve. He mentioned that.
He did.
That was a nice gesture from Coach Bowles. Anyway, Steve, I'm a little bit struck, and I think he's doing it even more pronounced than in a way that I thought he would. He's very very much got his guard up in terms of he's refraining from making even any preliminary observations, Steve. He's been very cautious in his comments about a particular player, no matter who the player is. His first response is always, up to this point, and that could change on Sunday, but up to this point, it's been, I'm not going to really make any evaluations on unpadded practices, even though, from a media standpoint, Steve, it seems that there are some young guys that are making plays out there, including Kyle Trask, who I saw the first 2 days. Now, again, in Lee's immortal words, underwear football, Trask looks better than he had looked before. Steve, he's throwing a better ball. It's got a little more zip on it. It's more accurate. It's on time. He's more comfortable. Having said that, doesn't mean Mayfield's having a bad camp. But, you know, it really starts on Sunday. And, Steve, I think it's going to conclude. And, Steve, you heard Bowles say it the other day, and we didn't really press him on it. He's already got a date in mind to make the call, Steve, to make it official. I think it's after the Jets game. I don't know how you feel about it. I've already written it. I think that's the natural time after the joint practices. They may not even have to look at film. It could be decided right then and there, Steve. But I think that's the time. I don't think this is going to last till the third preseason game. And, Steve, I can just picture Jason Light, Todd Bowles, Joel Glazer, in unison, cringing when I say this, Steve, cringing. But I got to say it. I don't believe in bad omens or anything. Steve, 3 days of camp, no injuries. Don't blame me if somebody twists a knee on Sunday. Don't blame me with the football gods. I'm just reporting what's a fact. And, Steve, we know what happened on the second day of camp last year. And, Steve, for anybody who says, they're playing underwear football, there's not going to be any injuries. Look around the league. Go tell Jalen Ramsey that. Joe Burrow's got a calf strain, Steve. He could be out 2 or 3 weeks, even if it's just a strain. You don't mess around with a calf. These things happen. So far, so good from a Buck perspective.
Yeah, who can argue with no injuries, Ira? Joe Burrow, they are talking more like 4 or 5 weeks now already. So, you never know. When I saw that, I was thinking, man, Trask could be the number one quarterback because of a calf injury just like that.
Steve, sometimes it's a non-contact injury.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes you're having a hot dog and cottage cheese and you strain your back. Sage, Bowles has been very focused on not allowing anybody to make any judgments. He's not giving any judgments. He keeps saying t-shirts and shorts, t-shirts and shorts. I'm sure that's what he's telling the players. Obviously, they got to know their assignments and show they're in the right spot, which is what Bowles has been talking about, that they're doing the right things mentally. But the physical stuff, he's going to judge when it's real. Today was more of the same from Todd Bowles. Not even a 4-minute news conference, Ira, which is kind of stunning because he's a head coach of an NFL team. It's pretty darn quick for 3 days into training camp. I wanted to mention this to you. Maybe it means something, maybe it means nothing, Ira, but, you know, there's not a lot of buzz for the Bucs nationally, and the Buccaneers, of course, have a YouTube channel, 200,000 followers. They stream all the press conferences there, player interviews are there, YouTube, for a lot of people, that's their main source of news. Todd Bowles' second day press conference up on YouTube, only late this afternoon, about 30 hours after the news conference, did it break 1,000 views. Now, that's just ridiculous for a NFL head coach. Going back to past training camp news conferences, Bruce Arians, I took a look in his last year. We're talking training camp news conference, 6,000, 7,000 views. It's a striking difference. And what does that tell you?
You know, Steve, for 3 years, we threw around this phrase, Brady effect. Of course, we looked at it as a very much a positive in terms of his leadership and his experience, his championship pedigree, and how he raised the game of everybody around him. And for the most part, that was true, especially year one and for a good part of year two. And now, Steve, you see the flip side of the Brady effect. I think that's a big part of it. He just piqued the interest of everybody, Steve, the casual fan. That was the critical part for me. The casual fan, the diehard's going to, you know, be into the Bucks no matter what. Even though that number, Steve, it's a little bit alarming, that 1,000 number. This is the head coach of your football team. And, you know, they're starting training camp. This is not March 14th here. The first preseason game, Steve, is, you know, 2 weeks away. And the season opener is, 6 weeks away. So, you know, we're not talking about way down the line. You know, the passion, it's a little bit tepid right now for the Bucks. I think people are reading the Vegas odd makers. Maybe they believe part of it. They saw the way the season ended with that dreadful performance against Dallas. They remember that they had a sub-500 record with Brady. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be a lot of enthusiasm starting Sunday when the season ticket holders come out. But, Steve, that 1,000 mark, it is a little shocking to me because it's not Servassier Dennis that we're talking about in terms of an interview. It's the head coach. And if you're going to tune into anybody, you're going to listen to what the head coach has to say.
And as far as when the pads do come on this week, is there a place where your eyes are first going? Now, we hit you with this earlier in training camp, but, you know, you've been looking at two practices now of what guys are doing, and some guys have stood out that maybe you didn't expect. Where are you now, Ira, when the pads come on? What do you want to see first? I'll say what I want to see first is Shaq Barrett, who looks really sharp out there for a guy coming off an Achilles. They gave him today off, but it was a very different tone in the presentation of Todd Bowles and how he talked about, almost like they were reining Shaq in versus Ryan Jensen. When he sits out, it's more of, well, we got a plan. We're, you know, making sure. With Shaq, it was sort of phrased as, you know, we're just pulling him in. You know, we're reining him in. Where are your eyes going?
My eyes are going right with Joe Gilbert, who's a lot of fun to listen to, by the way, on the sidelines. Curses like a longshoreman. I don't blame him. He's dealing with the 300-pound offensive lineman in front of him. And let's start, front and center, Ryan Jensen. Is Ryan Jensen going to be out there Sunday? What is the plan for Ryan Jensen? Steve, they need him. They need him, Steve. Now, with all due respect to Robert Hainsey, who was not used to playing the center position and played it, you know, all of last year, the whole regular season, wasn't terrible. But I don't think he distinguished himself, Steve. It's not like there's going to be a battle between Hainsey and Jensen, and I don't think there's a comfort level. Hey, that's okay. If Jensen's not ready for the first month, we go with Hainsey. I don't think it's like that, Steve. I think there's a big drop-off. And Jensen's the heart and soul of that front. And I'm going to be looking at the front, Steve. Joe Gilbert trying to whip these guys into shape. I'm looking at Tristan Wirfs, Steve. I want to see the footwork. I want to see who's coming off the right edge against him and how he does. I got no problems with him on the right side, as you know, Steve. I voted for him All-Pro as a rookie. I don't do that very often in the AP voting. The guy's a fantastic player. I think he's the best Buck player. He is the premier Buccaneer player, in my opinion. But he's changing positions. Steve, you know, one thing we haven't mentioned too much is Ryan Jensen, as things stand, if he's back. Steve, you could argue that all five offensive linemen, none of them are coming back at the same position. Jensen wasn't there. Wirfs was on the right side. You know, you got Getty.
Sure.
Yeah, you got Filer, and you got Malk, who I think is going to get that job. Five new spots now. Steve, you're on record, and you've been very strong on it. In your mind, there's no question. The offensive line as a group is going to take a big step up this fall over their predecessors. I don't know that for a fact, Steve. You don't. But you got a lot of faith in those guys up front. I'm watching the offensive line on Sunday.
Well, my other thing I was going to say is I want to see if the run defense comes back. Now, we don't know what the offense, you know, one guy, one area's success is another area's failure. You don't know really how really good anybody is. But I got to see that run defense step up. It's a hallmark of Bowles. They did what they needed to do to bolster it in their minds. Vita Vea is healthy, and he's facing some guys who he should be able to beat routinely, and there's Cansey and all the guys up there. I want to see the run defense just dominate in training camp. Yeah, the Bucs need to run the ball this year. I'm not worried about Wirfs. Ryan Jensen said today that without hesitation that Wirfs looks fantastic at left tackle. You know, we know Lee is very skeptical of the move. I don't see much downside other than, okay, maybe he's only in an average left tackle. So you move him back to right tackle next year. If it didn't work out, I don't think there's much to actually lose. But I want to see the run defense, Ira. It's got to come through for this team to be that top 10 defense. And if you're a top 10 defense, most of those top 10 defenses are attached to solid records, usually a good record.
No question, Steve. And I think Bowles has said this publicly, but I really think it bothered him throughout the season. Even though the defense stayed for about 2 months, 2.5 months, it was pretty darn good overall. And then I think they just wore out mentally and physically because of a terrible offense. But I don't think Bowles is happy at all with the tackling techniques, the failure to wrap up. And I'm not talking about trying to Shoyinka with a quarterback. I'm talking about not wrapping up a scrambling quarterback, not wrapping up the halfback when he breaks free into the second level. He didn't like the angles that people were taking, Steve. He didn't like the tackling. Steve, when you look at the Buck defense, and there's a lot of talent there, but to me, in terms of tackling, you've got Winfield, you've got David, and I'm not sure it goes that much further past that. Golston's pretty good against the run, Steve. That's why he's on the team. But, you know, White is erratic. Shaq Barrett, it's not his forte. Davis and Dean are just okay in run support. Steve, it's a problem. And I think Bowles is going to work on it very, very hard over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, a little more technique work today overall. That was kind of obvious versus the regular play, and that's fine. That's what training camp is for. Hot as hell out there today, Ira, man. Wow. Hey, nobody cares about us media slobs sweating.
Steve, by the way, and I mentioned this to Bowles, I think a couple of days ago, and got a good response out of him.
Hey, Ira, real quick, Ira. Yeah. Can you give us a timeline? Because our readers, we hinted at it last podcast. Our listeners, we got to know. We got a timeline. It could be 2 months, Ira, but maybe the bye week. But when do we get to tell the story of what happened with you and Todd Bowles not even a week ago? It's one of the funniest stories I've ever heard.
We're going to tell it before the season opener, Steve.
All right.
Right before the season opener.
All right. I can't wait.
And write it down, Steve, to remind me. Write it down.
Not a problem. Go ahead, Ira.
Now I'm thinking about the question that I asked Bowles. See how you deflected my train of thought, Steve? You see how easy it is?
What'd you ask him about, Ira? Is the media attention, or was this when you talk to Mayfield about the skeptics? What are we talking about here?
I can't remember what I was just about to say. It was something with Bowles, I think.
Tackling?
Keep going, Steve.
All right, Ira. Well, while you think about it, I'll remind everybody to shop at Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford. If you get to Bill Curry Ford like Ira and you forget why you were there, they'll still take care of it. They'll figure it out. They'll work with you. BillCurryFord.com. Did you remember?
Wait a minute, Steve. I got it.
You got it. See, there you go.
And I think you were there when I asked. And I've mentioned this guy several times on this podcast, Steve. I think Bowles loves this guy. I think it's genuine. He loves to talk about him as opposed to talking about some of these young guys, maybe undrafted guys. He doesn't want to get fill their heads too much. He doesn't want to talk about the rookies too much. This Ryan Neal, now, if you discount the nickel position, which is up for grabs, and we don't know who's stepping in there. Could be the rookie Hayes, could be Delaney, could be McCollum. I don't think it's going to be McCollum, if I had to bet. But, Steve, this Ryan Neal, so if you look at Dean, Davis, Neal, and Winfield, that's a damn good secondary. None of those guys might be a top five player at his position, but when you combine their skills, especially Ryan Neal, Steve, I just keep thinking, I think Seattle's going to regret letting this guy go. I think there's no position in the world, Steve, that Bowles knows better than safety. None. Yep. That was his position as a player. You know, he's not prone to hyperbole. And he loves himself some Ryan Neal. Keep an eye on him, Steve. I think he's going to be good.
Ira, I'm going to tell you exactly who Ryan Neal is. You ready for this? He's last year's Logan Ryan. That's exactly who he is. Bowles loves his smarts, his communicating, his ability to understand and thinks he's going to make an immediate impact. Logan Ryan did make an immediate impact. He was older and, you know, broke down, and that probably could have been predicted. Ryan Neal, a lot less mileage on him as an undrafted free agent, and he's still in his 20s. Hopefully he can last, but that's who I got. What do you think?
I think it's a very fair point. He did love Logan Ryan at this time a year ago. He was talking up Logan Ryan. And Steve, you're right. There were games when Logan Ryan looked really good, but as you said, he broke down. There's no reason to think, Steve, at this point, that Ryan Neal isn't going to be able to put together, you know, 15 games, 16 games, who knows? But, you know, he's not 33, Steve, he's not. And he's got no history of injuries, and I think Bowles is counting on him.
You can read my story, Ira, at joebucksfan.com, titled A Favorite at Nickel Cornerback. It's the undrafted rookie, Christian, not sure how to say his last name. I think it's Izzin, but the guy out of Rutgers. And
I read it, Steve, and you even did a tip of the hat to Shiano saying he's thrown some good players into the NFL, and that's in terms of the secondary. And
he's thrown a lot of them in there, including Logan Ryan, who we just mentioned. And when I was talking to Izzin, a guy, a friend of ours, Ira, at One Buck, pointed to him and gave me a thumbs up, like, hey, this is a good guy to talk to. And he's quick. He's just really quick, Ira. Smooth, you know.
He's small, Steve.
He was 5'8", 197, and I was standing next to him thinking, and my dad told me I couldn't play for professional football. I'm bigger than this guy. But just an intense character and another guy to look at when the pads come on. All right, Ira, we're going to head out.
Steve, who was that? Who was that little safety for the Colts that was about 5'9", but I'm not talking about Troy Polamalu or something. I'm talking about the guy in the Colts, like in the 2000s. The guy was a dynamic player. He was really small. I can't remember the guy's name.
Hey, it's been a long week, Ira, out in the sun. I can't pull a Colts safety from 2004. From 04 out of my ass. I can't do it. I'm not even going to try.
I got it.
Sage, before we let you go and head back to me and Lee at One Buck to dive into some good stuff. We really do have some good stuff to talk about from today. What's on the weekend menu for Saturday before we see you on Sunday? You always have something going on with your wife.
It's all set in stone, Steve. Already got the tickets. Going with another couple.
Barbie?
Early dinner. Early dinner at Outback. Early dinner. I can taste that Alice Springs chicken rolling around my palate, Stevie. And then Oppenheimer. I'll give you a full review on Sunday. I know it's a 3-hour movie, but I hear it's riveting. For whatever reason.
All right, come on, Ira, come on. What do you get at the movies? Milk duds? What are we doing there?
I don't do it, Steve. I don't do the popcorn. No duds. Bottle of water, which is about $6. That's a travesty, Steve. Travesty. My wife brings in some hard candy, caramels or something. No popcorn. No milk duds. I'm all about the movie, Steve. I'm all about the movie. I shut that phone off. By the way, I try to come in. You know, it says it's playing 7:30. I show up 7:45. I don't want to see these previews, Steve. They're awful. One is worse than the next. And you walk out of there saying there's nothing coming up in the next couple of months that I want to watch. But, Steve, next podcast, you get the review of Oppenheimer.
All right, Ira. Well, hopefully you'll forget all about it and won't tell us. No, I'm kidding you. We'll see you Sunday, Ira. I think I'm going to get you breakfast, which will hopefully encourage you to come out early. I know what you likes, and we'll be back with another podcast. We'll record Sunday. Everybody will be listening by Monday at the latest. All right, Sage, be good. All right, Lee, we're outside One Buck Palace. Practice wrapped up a couple of hours ago here on Friday. Day 3 is in the books, off day on Saturday. You know, good to see some fans out here, friends and family, they called it. A lot of these friends were VIP guests sitting in the stands. I talked to a few of them. And a lot of family and friends, for sure. Real family of the players and staff. So it's always interesting to see how these guys interact and all that. But we know our fans care about what's going on in the field. And I wanted to get your impressions. We didn't sit together during practice, but I thought it was kind of a relaxed practice. A lot of special teams work.
Yeah.
More water breaks. Sure, they got their work in. You know, they're 7-on-7, their usual 11-on-11 stuff. But it seemed like more technique and drill work overall, quieter practice, probably by design.
Part of that, I think, is you notice that there's little to no time between snaps. 7-on-7 offense versus defense, 11-on-11. They're getting a lot of snaps in. It's quick. So maybe that counts for more work on special teams, more work on drills, individual position drills. That could be part of it. By the way, the people out that were sitting in the bleachers, they are workers at the stadium.
Oh, okay.
Because Brian Ford, the CEO of the Bucks, came and go, "Thank you for everything you do at Raymond James Stadium." I heard him say that 3 or 4 times as he walked through. So I just put 2 and 2 together and figured they're employees there.
You know what? Maybe a good chunk of them were. That end of it, I didn't realize. A couple of guys I talked to weren't. And just to explain this for the fans, you know, bottom line is maybe instead of 25 seconds per play, you're looking at 16.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a faster pace. Fans will see that when they come out for training camp Sunday, Monday, Tuesday this week. But it is different. I'm not sure if it's better or worse, but it certainly makes guys process quicker and faster, and makes it harder for us guys taking notes. You gotta pay attention.
Exactly. You look up and, oh my gosh, there's a snap.
Yeah, you can get a lot done in those 10 seconds scribbling down and doing the things that we do. Anybody stand out for you today? I know, look, the quarterback thing, it's just not very real yet.
Correct.
Know, I won't say that anybody really looks great. I mean, we've looked at a lot of quarterbacks over the years. I don't think the Bucs found their franchise quarterback just from these 3 practices.
No.
But it is way too early.
Well, I agree absolutely with what you're saying. Trask, to me, looks like a different quarterback. He is not the same. I'll just flat out say it. He's not the same quarterback that I saw just a few weeks ago in OTAs and minicamp or the previous 2 seasons. He is not the same guy. He used to lollipop passes all over the place. Now he's rifling footballs. There was one play, I described it in the practice notes. He looked like Jameis. Now, what I mean by that, not a pick. But Jameis, when he wanted to, he would show off that, hey, man, I was a closer in college, and I was a damn good pitcher. He had a fastball when he wanted to rear back and throw it. I saw Trask do that a couple times today, one of which was he threw for Trey Palmer. It went off his hands, but you could hear from the bleachers. You could hear the pop of the football hitting his hands. And like, where has this been all along? And I texted someone within the Bucks organization, like, where did you kidnap Trask to? This is somebody else. This is his brother. What's going on here? Where are you hiding Trask? This is a different quarterback. I'm not, like you just said, this really isn't, this is sort of fake. It's flag football. I'm not willing to say he's as good as Mayfield yet. I'm not willing to say he's going to overtake Mayfield. That may happen. I'm not saying it will happen. But he's certainly so much better than what I've seen, you know, how many, not, I don't know, what, 60 practices I've seen the guy? Completely different guy. I don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I was talking to somebody, an official here at One Buck, on the football side. And I was referencing Trask looking better and all that stuff. And of all the competition chatter that we've been encouraged to talk about, the guy came back to me kind of downplaying what Trask has been doing.
Oh, really?
In these practices a little bit. Yeah, so it's just kind of funny, you know. It all just has to play out.
Mm-hmm.
He does look better, confident, and he should be, you know, third year, throwing to better receivers. I mean, you saw the twinkle in his eye yesterday at the podium, as Ira calls it, the podium, although they were just sitting down at a table. But, you know, he's really enjoying throwing to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin now that he's built a little bit of chemistry, a little bit. And why not? You know, if I'm throwing the ball, I want to throw to those guys too. So as far as further down the depth chart, Trey Palmer, I'm not seeing it yet from Trey Palmerly.
No.
And that's fine. Most rookie, fifth rounder?
Yeah, fifth round, sixth round.
I mean, they're not going to just come in and light it up like that. Mm-hmm. So I feel, when I say that, I feel like his speed, and he's just not processing super fast yet.
I think you're right.
And his hands aren't golden.
No.
You know, I've seen better hands. There may be better hands on some of these undrafted free agents.
Yes.
So, but it's too early. Russell Gage walking around seems to think that the buzz is that he'll be back next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what he looks like. I have every reason to believe they wouldn't put him on the field if he wasn't 100%.
Mm-hmm.
No reason for it, but you've got David Moore, the guy from the Seahawks, battling for that number 3, number 4 job, and Devin Tompkins, all smiles, looks so comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You see his speed. I don't know how this is all going to shake out.
Well, Tompkins, as you probably noticed, he's getting a lot of work with the first team.
Yeah.
A lot of work. When they brought Dave Canales out, when he was first hired by the Bucks, they brought him out for a press conference. After the press conference, which they often do with new hires, they'll bring the guy into the media room to have a sort of off-the-record chat with him. And I know during this off-the-record chat, somebody mentioned Tompkins' name, his eyes lit up. And he basically said, you know, we're going to use this guy. That's basically what he said. I'm paraphrasing, but we're going to use this guy. And so, I mean, fantasy football people out there, if you're looking for a flyer late in your draft, maybe Tompkins might be the guy. Maybe.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Canales, I wrote something about this. Canales has that Dirk Cutter streak in him, which is our guys are our guys. And if he's here, I love him. You know, he loves everybody. He's almost, he's not quite John Gruden, but he, with I love this guy, love that guy. He loves everyone, though. Just loves everyone. So I don't know about that. But Tompkins, certainly, you see the speed, and I think it comes down to his comfort. He's so small, though. I don't know how he would hold up as a slot guy, and he's certainly not going to play much on the outside. But, you know, he made the team as a returner, and if he can be the number one returner, they'll use him as much as they can. So you just never know at this point.
Speaking of returning, and you mentioned Palmer just a moment ago, a guy like Palmer, who's a late draft pick, you know, late D3 draft pick, you really have to minimize your bad plays. Because when push comes to shove on countdown day, if you're even or in lockstep with somebody else, those bad plays are magnified, big time magnified. And he's got to start putting together some good plays. He had a terrible botch of a punt return today. He had nobody around him and just totally botched the ball. Look like me trying to catch a punt. And like, dude, you I know it's one play. I know it's the third practice of the season. But again, when it comes down to cutdown day, and if you're even with a couple guys, you're on the bubble, those plays get magnified. So to erase the memory of those bad plays, you better start stacking some good plays. So I'm starting to have my doubts about Palmer right now.
Well, and I will I will add, Lee, and I threw it in your practice notes there, Todd Bowles was with the, during that punt return period, he was with the defensive backs and some other receivers who were doing drills. He broke away to watch the punt returns alone. Todd Bowles standing alone on the sideline. Usually there's somebody with the head coach. He watched that play, and he watched all those punt returns. So coach is keeping his eye around. Again, like you said, day three, a drop is essentially what it is. But something to watch. Speaking of special teams, Lee, we don't talk a ton of special teams because, hey, it's not that exciting. But you know what? You don't see it every day. The kickers out here that are dueling, they made all their kicks today, including from 58 yards. I thought I could see just the – it might have been the sun, but I think it was Jason Light smiling from ear to ear that he may have picked up another good kicker and two in a row after Ryan Succop, who still has no job, worth noting. I'm sure Light appreciates that his guy that he let go is on the street. But I talked to special teams chief Keith Armstrong. We had a private chat, and he was laughing about the kickers, saying, hey, you know, I got to take all the credit when they make it because I got to take all the credit when they miss. And you just got to, you know, appreciate the process that goes into guys coming out and kicking so well, and everybody gets the credit, but he laughed about it. You know, hey, I'm a genius. You know, my kickers made all the kicks. But I wanted to bring him up, Lee, because I had never seen it. You hadn't seen it, and that's kind of hard to do. I just didn't remember it because I watched the Hard Knocks episodes, but the Falcons were on back, I believe it was 2015.
I was going to say about 10 years ago.
Because I remember asking Lovey Smith if he was watching Hard Knocks to get a read on the Falcons, and he looked at me like I was from Mars, you know?
Meanwhile, Belichick would be all over that thing.
Right. But Lovey often looked at me like I was from another planet.
Hard Knocks.
Anyway, so the clip, and fans can see it on Joe Bucks Fan soon. Keith Armstrong was absolutely berating.
Yes.
Devonta Freeman in a special teams meeting.
Among others.
And some others on a botched punt. The punt was blocked, and they returned it for a touchdown. And he went absolutely bananas, like in a way, and this is in a meeting, not on the sidelines, in a meeting breaking down the film, a really cool scene, really fun scene, and just like, holy cow, that guy's on the Bucks coaching staff.
Yeah.
And I hadn't really seen a player berated like that in a long time.
Not in the NFL, I sure haven't.
So what I did was I went up to Armstrong today and said, hey, man, I know this is old news, but I just saw it, and I got to talk to you about that clip. We talked about it for a while, and he, of course, he saw it and was there, and he wasn't embarrassed by it. He said, you know, initially, you know, you feel bad seeing it, but he said, ultimately, he said, for the fans should know who watched that's his last resort.
Oh.
If you play for Keith Armstrong, he's not going to be ripping players like that every day. He said, that's the last resort, sort of when a player doesn't give a crap or is acting like he doesn't give a crap. And Armstrong's attitude is, if you make a mistake like that where it sort of feels like you don't give a crap or there's no excuse whatsoever, I owe it to you to rip you a new one because your teammates deserve to hear me rip you a new one because you didn't care about this unit so much to screw up like that. And so he said, yeah, he would do it again. And he said things like that have happened at one buck, but he said it's rare and a last resort sort of situation. But he stands behind it.
Well, one of the one-liners that he was screaming at a player, he was like, who are you? Are you an all-pro? Do you have a gold jacket I don't know about?
There's a lot of good stuff in there. I'll leave it at that. I talked to Keith Tandy a little bit about Armstrong style. He's the assistant special teams coach, but we'll save that for another day. Going back to the field, Lee, you know, the defense moving around, a little more active today, I thought. And you know that they just can't wait to hit people. Devin White still not talking to the media. So it's obvious that he has no interest in doing that. Your thoughts on what you saw from the defense?
Well, I put this in the practice notes. Latter part of defense, I'd say the last 45 minutes, it was as if Bowles said, okay, enough. We're unleashing the hounds. Let's go. And almost every play, it would have been a sack if it was real football. It would have been a sack. I mean, they pressured Mayfield. I think they forced him to a couple bad throws. Same with Trask. It was different guys every time. One time it was White. One time it was Logan Hall. Another time it was Cam Gill. I mean, it was almost like, you know, again, Bowles said to himself, I'm sick of this. We're going to play some defense. That's what it seemed to me, because it was almost like a snap of the finger. Every play, for like six or eight plays in a row, there were guys in the quarterback's face where that didn't happen prior to that. And so, I mean, that was good to see. And I talked to Cervakia Dennis the other day. He had a pick six, and that's his third one. I thought it was his fourth one. He corrected me, no, three. So he's an honest man. And he's just saying, I want to prove to people I can do this with pads. So these guys are really chomping at the bit to get the pads. The coaches are too. I mean, Bowles, you could tell, was sick of it the other day in his press conference.
Yeah, again today on Friday, Bowles' super short news conference, a little less than 3 minutes. Might have been four. Sorry, a little less than 4 minutes. Might have been four exactly. Just every question that he could throw in an answer that included, nothing's real, this is t-shirts and shorts, it's not real, it's all phony, he did. And so he's really downplaying it. It just goes to show what underwear football is all about. Yaya Diaby, I chatted with him, and there's two sort of interesting things going on. He is a happy guy because he believes that so far I've had no learning curve. That while I'm learning stuff, I haven't slowed down. My speed is showing up. I feel like I'm the player I was in college here on the field. I'm really excited about that. So he's just happy for himself that he feels like, hey, it's going great. Like, I'm me. I'm not, you know, I fit in.
Wow.
Which is really cool. And I asked him because, you know, Shaq Barrett, of course, between his rehab and, you know, what happened with his child passing away, he really wasn't here until training camp.
Yeah.
So, you know, for Yaya Diaby, now he gets to meet Buck Sacks King Shaq Barrett. And he talked about how Shaq knows everything and just has been teaching him so much. And just like he's been progressing all this way without Shaq. And now in comes, you know, the guy who knows everything, fifth year in the defense and all that. So, you know, who knows who's going to win this gig. And Anthony Nelson looks awfully confident. I heard him talking to somebody else and Shoyinka. So who knows? But they kept Shaq out today. Bowles said it was strictly to he was ready. He's fine. He sort of implied that this isn't like Ryan Jensen, who they're being careful with. They are being careful with Shaq, but he's ready to go, and all systems go with Shaq.
You mentioned Anthony Nelson. He probably could have had a scoop and score, not today, but yesterday. He had a scoop and score in a bullet. Well, he had a scoop. He got a fumble. It was Sneak Vaughn, bad fumble in the backfield. Nelson picked it up, and they blew the play dead. Otherwise, he likely would have had a scoop and score, but they blew the play dead. So it looks like he's ready to go. I talked to Luke Getke today. You know, you've mentioned this many times, and you're not the only one, but you've mentioned it many times, how Getke looks so much more comfortable playing right tackle against Atlanta than he ever did against playing left guard. And he told me that's true. He goes, I did feel comfortable. He goes, there was just a little bit of rust for a couple of plays. And I was back to where I was in college. Now, he said he was feeling comfortable at left guard toward the end of the season. And I asked him, I said, well, when the coaches told you they were going to move you, did they mention in part because you looked good or looked comfortable at right tackle? And he laughed. He goes, they didn't tell me. They told me. I just work here. They told me to jump. I ask how high. So that never came up, the comfortable ability at right tackle.
Sure.
I did not come
and
up.
It's worth noting, Gedeke played right tackle in college. Mm-hmm. That's where the comfort comes from. But it's also a bit of a tip-off, possibly. Hey, Cody Mauch did not play on the right side of the line in college. Here he is at right guard trying mm-hmm. to reverse everything, and he played tackle.
Left tackle, right? In college. Left tackle, correct.
Yeah. So could be a difficult situation for him. Who knows? But worth noting that Ali Marpet was a left tackle in college and walked into right guard in the pros and did really well.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't an all pro his first year, but he was good and the running game was good in 2015.
He held
so
up.
They can hold up. Mauch, you know, he doesn't look as thick and as just powerful as a guy like Gedeke, who looks like mm-hmm. a tank, you know,
yeah.
and Marpet as a rookie, but can't underestimate these guys.
Yeah, Mauch looks like a guy that he'll be different next year when he gets a full offseason in the NFL weight room.
Well, that's the interesting thing about these rookies now with the COVID years. Mauch is older than Tristan Wirfs. So
wow.
He may be a much more fully developed rookie where not much more is going to happen, unlike a Logan Hall coming into this second year. And you know, I don't know. That remains to be seen. That could be a byproduct of these COVID older players coming in.
That's an interesting point you made. Now, I'll give him credit. Charlie Campbell, Walter Football. He used to cover the Bucs years ago. He claims an NFL source. Who is that? I don't know. A scout, a GM, ex-coach, whoever. NFL source, that's a huge umbrella.
Sure.
He claims an NFL source told him that Mauch's already maxed out physically, that he put on so much weight in college that his frame is maxed out. Like if he gets any bigger, he's going to be unathletic because he'll be obese.
Sure. I mean, I've learned through the years there's two types of NFL offensive linemen. The massive guys who are just massive guys, and when they retire, they usually get fat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's the guys who slim down right away because they put so much effort into bulking up. Look at Ali Marpet
mm-hmm.
and his story of what he did in college to make weight. You know, Mauch is probably in that same vein. Both of them can be successful, but it's a little bit different when you have just that natural big frame guy who coming out of high school is 6'5", 270, and doesn't have a lot of work to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Lee, look, we've got pads coming on. Hopefully next practice, it's not 100% clear if it'll happen on Sunday, but certainly on Monday. So we get real football, the stuff we love.
Mm-hmm.
Preseason games are coming, the stuff you hate. All right, although I just look at the preseason as a practice in pads, so I like it.
That's one way to look at it. That's a better way to look at it, yeah.
But I do want to note that it's good to see Baker Mayfield out there. Really, he really enjoys the fans.
Guy, oh, is that right?
Guy was hugging a lot of fans today, took a ton of pictures, talking to the people, and I talked to him on the side. I said, hey, look, you know, for 3 years, there was COVID, but we didn't have a quarterback who was hanging out with the fans
mm-hmm.
like this. And before that, we had Jameis Winston, who liked the fans, but was, you know, a little leery of people and not the way you were doing it right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say, it's pretty cool. And he's like, that's just me. He's like, they're just people. I'm just, you know, I'm the guy with the jersey on. But he really enjoys it. Now, Kyle Trask, not as comfortable with the fans.
Mm-hmm.
But Mayfield really almost looked like Ira working the crowd. I mean, just all over the place. Really interesting. I'm curious to see what happens when there are bigger crowds out here. It's not the friends and family group.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, these weren't all Baker Mayfield's friends and family. I don't think he had any friends and family here. But one thing that I asked Ira about, Lee, before we head out, I got his feedback. I want to get yours. I was able to uncover, we wrote it at Joe Bucks Fan, that this summer, in the 6 weeks between mandatory minicamp and the return, Kyle Trask was out there working at a local field
mm-hmm.
with about six receivers, tight ends and receivers. And those were multiple sessions, I was told, and that they got good work in. And, you know, Trask doing the leadership thing, that's you would think a guy fighting for a job would do. Let's get out and work and
mm-hmm.
whatever. Now, there were not the big names there with Trask, no Chris Godwin, whatever. But Baker Mayfield did not do that at all. Didn't throw with his guys. And his answer was, we got great work in. I was there all voluntary workouts. We got great work in. That break's important. Now we get back at it. Did that surprise you? Because it really surprised the hell out of me. Man, if you want to win that job and have every edge possible for opening day against the Vikings, mm-hmm. you might want to work with these guys a little more.
Well, I'll go a step further. Mayfield might be looking at the crossroads of his career. Yeah, certainly as a starting quarterback in the NFL, you would think that would motivate him. And I'm not going to criticize him. Bobby Knight, my favorite Bobby Knight saying, nobody knows me better than me. So maybe he knows he doesn't need it. But I might suggest that the lack of being on the same page with Evans may have shown itself today. There were two passes, deep passes down the left sideline. First one, Mayfield terribly underthrew him. The next one, he terribly overthrew him. It was the exact same play. You know, it's almost unfair to say, well, if you were out there throwing passes in the middle of June to these guys, you know, it's unfair to say, but I even noted that in my practice notes. Like, I don't think they're on the same page, at least not with this play. Would that have been solved if they were working out at some high school? You would hope so, but that's kind of a leap. Maybe what I saw today, those two guys not on the same page on that particular play, maybe that's evidence that they could have used some extra work. I don't know, but sure. I would have sure liked to have heard, yeah, Mayfield was out throwing with these guys. Props to Kyle Trask for doing it, taking the initiative to do it.
Yeah, it's just interesting for like a guy fighting for his career, fighting for a ton of money. Look at what quarterbacks are making, yes. $50 million a year now, left and right. I don't know. It's just something to throw in, way back in the brain. Probably means nothing, but it says something. I don't know what, but it says something. And what you should do this weekend is to shop at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of where we stand right now on Dale Mabry Highway. Sean Sullivan is the GM. He's got your Ira Kaufman discount. He's got deals. He's got $500 to hand you in cash if he cannot meet or beat any Ford dealer's offer. Great service. They're there all weekend. BillCurryFord.com. Lee, we'll be back on Sunday to see what happens here.
With Ira in person, I bet.
Yeah, Ira will be out here. He'll have his towel. He'll be looking for lunch. He'll be glad-handing. He'll say, where's the national media? Oh, you got time for one more, Lee, or
yeah,
you got to go?
Yeah.
All right. Now, look, maybe this is too conspiratorial. The Joe Bucks fan loyalists know that we care about this kind of stuff. I got to tell you, Lee, Thursday, Todd Bowles talked to the media. And, of course, it's streamed live on YouTube, Buccaneers. You know, they put all that stuff out there for the fans. It's also on Facebook, but it's on YouTube. And YouTube, of course, shows the views. Now, 24 hours later, Todd Bowles' video, head coach of the NFL, did not break 1,000 views. Wow. I have never seen anything close to that ever. And all the views of the Bucks, official views, are down on YouTube. The interest in this team is just falling off the map. Certainly from the casual fan, mm-hmm. but and the national fan, I don't know, but a head coach of the NFL takes to YouTube and gets 996 views in 24 hours? What's going on?
I think part of it is, you know, Bowles' personality. Now, we like Todd personally. He's been good to us. We want him to win. We don't want him to get fired. We want the Bucs to win. I just think when you go from Arians, who was this, like, lovable uncle, you know, a guy you could hug and go out and have a couple of beers with, and great personality. And Todd, although he's as cooperative as you can get as a coach, he just does not have a bubbling personality. He does not have a telegenic personality.
You can say boringly. It's okay.
Well, I won't say boring. And if you're an X's and O's, you're not. He's not going to bore you. But he just doesn't have the personality. I remember Larry King, before he died, said this about the 45, the president, 45. I won't mention his name because we don't want to get people, you know, PO'd. And they said, every day you come home from work, you had to turn on the news. What did he say today? What did he say? Arians was sort of like that. He didn't know what he was going to say. Todd does not have that kind of personality, so I can understand why people aren't drawn to him on YouTube. Of all the things you could watch on the internet, Todd Bowles is in your top five? And unless you're an absolutely crazy, diehard, you wear creamsicle pajamas at night, not too many people are going to, you know, make it a point when they get up in the morning and go check out Todd Bowles' YouTube.
Well, whatever he says that's interesting, we have it at JoeBucksFan.com. All right, that is a wrap on the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thank you, Bill Curry Ford, for presenting all of Ira Kaufman's work at JoeBucksFan.com. You can find them right now and 24/7 at BillCurryFord.com. Saturday, don't mess up. Have a great time, or at least get some great deals. All kinds of stuff happening at Big Storm Brewing Company, Florida's best craft beer in Clearwater, just south of Ulmerton Road on 49th Street. That's their tap room. Live music, half price specials. Excuse me, buy one, get one free specials. A lot of deals, raffles, fun. Noon to 8. Check it out. BigStormBrewery.com. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. You know who to call whenever you have damage in your home, fire, flood, mold, any sort of disaster. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, training camp marches on the Ira Kaufman podcast. We'll see you next time.